Dr. and Mrs. Weissman, Friedlander, distinguished leaders of the campaign, and my friends in Boston. Today is Shabbos Bereishis. The synagogues here and throughout the world, we read the words of the first chapter of the Bible, creation. It is a great privilege for us on this Sabbath of beginning to have with us great and immortal architect of the beginning of the redemption of the Jewish people, Dr. Chaim Weizmann. It's a very strange combination today. The story, on the one hand, told tonight by Herman Gilman, the story of darkness, and the story of tikva, of hope, as given to us by Dr. Weizmann. The story of the quest for life on the part of our people. Zochreinu l'chaim, melech chofetz v'chaim. Remember us unto life, O King who delightest in life. He who wants to understand the secret of why we Jews have lived to this day must understand this hunger, this unconquerable hunger for life. The Greeks, with all of their art and all of their philosophy, the Greeks perished because, as Gilbert Murray said, there was a failure of nerve. And when the testing hour came, the Greeks did not have the will to make others live. The Greeks perhaps wanted to make themselves live, but they did not understand the necessity of making others live. We Jews throughout the ages have survived because every Jew has understood in his heart that he is responsible for Klal Yisrael, for all of Israel. And the question that has been asked, put so brilliantly and unforgettably by the Rambam, by Maimonides, Im lo yirachem ha'ach al ha'ach, mi yirachem alach? Ulemi aniye Yisrael notin einehem elal achehem. Who will take compassion upon a brother, if not a brother? And to whom shall the afflicted of Israel turn their eyes, if not to their brothers? Well, the brothers of Israel turned their eyes to us. And they too repeat, isn't it strange that on every boat that comes to Eretz Yisrael, out of the purgatory of Europe, there come babies. Almost 50 babies were born. The last ships that tried to get into Palestine. No matter what birth rates may decline in the great countries of Europe, of France, of England, even these Jews of ours who have suffered everything, all of the gas chambers and the crematoria, who've seen what it means to bring a Jew into the world, they are bringing new life because not only they want something to love, but they want to see that Israel shall survive, shall transcend this dark day, and shall come to new light. And you and I have to answer that cry for life, l'chaim, we tonight, and in these coming weeks. I'm speaking to you tonight on four themes, briefly. What shall we give? Why must we give? Who must give? How long must we give? What must we give? I think we must give not only bread, but belief again. Last year, Herman Gilman and his co-workers asked for black bread. Not caviar, but just black bread. This year, they're asking for black bread. For the Jews in Vienna and for the DP camps and the Jews all over Europe. But there's something deeper. If there is an attempt on the part of the American government to create a plan to save Europe from totalitarianism, I believe that we of the household of Israel now have to understand In this hour, we've got to save our brothers and our sisters from cynicism, pessimism, atheism. Make no mistake about it. We Jews here in America do not understand that the Jews of Europe have been waiting, 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 their nerves taut like violin strings to the breaking point, growing thinner, needing the blood plasma, not only the blood plasma of the body, but of the mind as well. The story of the great writer of our time, in the 19th century, they said God is dead. In the 20th century, they're saying that man is dead. Remember that. We Jews came into the world in our religion to teach the world that God lives and man lives. We have been speaking of ourselves for thousands of years as the Orlogoyim, the light unto the nations. Now there is a time to be the light unto our own people. Na'ir la'atmenu. Yehi or b'beitenu habdal. Let us bring light to ourselves. Light to the people who need that light. And what is the light? I say that every time we send our contribution from here to there, we are showing the Jews of Europe in this dark hour, even with the new hope of partition and of Palestine, this new hope is still not achieved and will not be achieved immediately. Even though it is on the horizon as a new dawn, I say we're sending not only bread, but we're sending belief. A belief again that there's something worthwhile in man. They've seen only man as the beast, man as the selfish creature, man as the builder of pogroms. They've lost faith, many of them, in man and in God. And if we Jews have a mission to the world, don't we have a mission to our own people also to give them a renewed confidence in humanity and divinity? With every piece of bread that we send also belief. Food and faith is what we must give. And why should we give? Because we have to be worthy. Worthy of ourselves and of the martyrs of our people and of other peoples. We have to be worthy of a Hannah Senish, a great young Jewish parachutist who died before the Nazi stormtroopers with her eyes unblindfolded. We have to be worthy of Zivia Lubetkin, the heroine of the Warsaw Ghetto. We have to be worthy of the Danish Christians. I just read 2 days ago the story of Hans Bendix, writing about what the Denmark people did for our people. Do you know it? When the Nazis came, the Danish Christians gave up their sleep, food, clothes. Christians gave up their money to bribe the Germans to let the Jews escape into Sweden. Doctors and nurses in the hospitals, Lutheran church people, the people of Denmark, from the king and the royal family down to the humblest Dane, they were the whole underground. The whole people was an underground. And there were some, I want to tell you, the stories that have been told, Jews being met on the streets of Copenhagen. A man says, "You don't know me, but I know you. Here is my key to my apartment. You may need it sometime." There were Jews who got to Sweden with 5 different latchkeys in their pockets. And Christians took them in their boats at night, under the threat and the fear and the danger and some giving their lives of machine gun fire. They took them in their boats across the Sound to Sweden. I say that we have to be worthy of them. We have to be worthy of the Danish Christians. We Jews are a people of memory. Zahor! Yes, memory. Zahreinu l'chaim. Remember us to life. Make us worthy of life. We are being called upon not to take Jews across the sea at the risk of machine gun fire as those Christians did, only to give our money. I think at this moment of a Dutch Christian by the name of Juke Westerwell, 40 years old, father of 4 children. When the Nazis came to Holland, this Christian became the leader in the underground to lead Jewish children and young people out of Holland. He took a group, his last group, to the foot of the Pyrenees, and he said to the young Jews there, "This is a dangerous road. Walk on it successfully and build your homeland. But do not forget your linkage to all humanity. Do not forget us, your non-Jewish comrades." And then he knew what he was doing. He knew the risks he was taking. And he was caught by the Gestapo. And he was tortured. And he died. The Kiddush Hashem. And his wife wrote a friend in Eretz Yisrael. Jude died in August. But he died without revealing the secret of the rescue of Jewish children. I say to you, we Jews of Boston will not blaspheme the memory of Jupe Westerwelle or of Hannah Fenish. It is for us to finish Hitler's work or to undo Hitler's work. We in Boston are going to undo Hitler's work as much as we can and as speedily as we can. Who shall give? The leaders? No. You. I. All of us. We are not in a relief campaign. We're in the midst of a struggle for survival. We are in the midst of a struggle for life. L'chaim. And I say to you that when a people is in the midst of its struggle for life, people have the right to confiscate property. Well, Mr. Gilman here, Mr. Gilman and his co-workers have no police force. No one is going to come to your home and confiscate your property. You can bolt it. You can lock it away, or you can give it as a free will offering for the people. But this is the glory of Israel, without chauvinism and without boastfulness, that throughout the ages we have given tzedakah not as charity, but as sharing, as mutual sharing. We have been mature enough to confiscate our own property voluntarily, not by dictation, but with the spirit, the knowledge of our own obligations as mature men and women of the household of Israel. I want you to remember, when I ask who shall give, the great passage, very few of us remember it or understand it. When Moses of old received the vision of God from the burning bush, something strange happened. Something strange. After that revelation of God, there's no discussion of theology in Exodus right there. No discussion of ritual. The Ten Commandments were not given then. What was Moses told after the revelation of God from the burning bush? Go to save the people from Egypt. I say that we now have our burning bush before us. And the voice of history, of Jewish history to us is to say, go save the people. Go to the slave cities of Germany and Austria. Go to Vienna. Save the people. Are you sure that there is not another Chaim Weizmann sitting as a six-year-old child in some DP camp? I think that there may be another Chaim Weizmann for the next generation. Save the people, bring them out of Egypt, out of the burning sands of Europe. Bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Save the people. Bring chemists and physicists, teachers and sages and writers and psalmists. For a renewed and a new Israel. No Jew dare be an isolationist now. Maimonides somewhere says, Haporeis minat tzibur, Seino nichnas tzaratam, Seino mitane b'tanitam, Ein lo chelek lo mabo. A man who separates himself from the people of Israel and does not share in their sufferings and their troubles, does not feel afflicted in their afflictions, he has no role and no share in the world to come. And I add tonight, any Jew who does not give to this great campaign, this Jew will have no share in this world either. If we do not give now, we shall be marked with the mark of Cain in our heart. The mark of Cain. Every Jew this year who dies on land or on sea because we have not given, the accusing finger of Jewish history will haunt us down the corridor of the years. And with his last dying breath, the Jew will say to us in America, if we fail them, Rotea, Bogey, Afar, murderer, betrayer, barbarian. We do not want the mark of Cain upon ourselves. We all of us want to give. We all of us are determined to give. How can we do it? There are 20,000 or more Jews in this garden tonight. I tell you, begin with yourself tonight. Begin with yourself, all of us. Let all of us begin with ourselves. Tomorrow, make it as a kind of mitzvah for yourselves. Go and ring doorbells. Ring doorbells. Get 5 Jews in the neighborhood where you live and hold on to them until they give you a pledge that will redeem the people from Egypt, and let this flood come into 72 Franklin Street. Let it be a flood of Chaim, a flood of life. I say that if we want to do it, we can become the spiritual Haganah, the spiritual Haganah here in America. We can, in these next 3 weeks, we can reach every Jew among the 120,000 Jews to give so that there shall be a cable coming from Boston to the DP camps of Europe, a cable that will read, we, the Jews of Boston, all of us, Kalal Yisrael of Boston, we have gathered together in order to build your highway, the highway from thick darkness to light. We are going to lift you up from the dust of humiliation and enable you to stand upon your feet. Who is going to give? You and I. Go out tonight. Make it your mitzvah tomorrow. Reach the Jews of Greater Boston until there will come indeed the exodus this time from the Egypt of Europe to the promised land of Eretz Israel. How long shall we give? As for myself, I feel that all of us shall give this year and in the years to come until the scar shall be taken away and the wounds of the body of Israel shall be healed. We shall give until Israel will be healed. That's how long we shall give. And we now have a new motif and a new motive for giving. We are going to give, if the American people, all of us Americans, can give up eggless day, meatless day, poultryless day. I know that we American Jews will also accept butterless days and movieless days and pleasureless days in order that we shall save the people. And we shall save them in order to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. We shall bring them to Eretz Yisrael, my friends. It's going to be a great task. Do you understand that you and I are now in the midst of the greatest of Jewish history? After 2,000 years, there can come a new dignity and a new freedom to all of Israel out of Eretz Yisrael. And we are going to be the co-builders. With the monies that you raised and all of us raised, we're going to be the co-builders. I would like to say in the name of Boston, if I could, to Dr. Weitz, we're going to build bridges. Bridges of ships stretching from the blood-drenched soil of Europe to the free waters of the Jordan. We're going in this campaign as never before, because we have come from the Emek HaBocha to the Petach Tikva, from the valley of despair now to the beginning of the opening of the door of hope. Our gold and our silver will be the bricks on that highway leading from Europe to Palestine. Our gold and our silver will be the stern and the hull of the vessels of victory. Our gold and our silver will be the bread and the belief, the milk and the medicine, until our people shall stand free as the children of Israel and the land of Israel, and we out of Boston will become as we have been in the past, but now greater than ever before, we shall become the Chalutzei Hagdulah, the pioneers for the world of the redemption of Israel.
This is Lou Melinda. These recordings were made on October 18, 1948, by Dick Shaloff and me, from a transcription taken from Rabbi Liebman's most famous address, They Shall Live, delivered at the Boston Garden at the Combined Jewish Appeal Rally in October 1947. Rabbi Liebman, at the height of his career in the service to Judaism and American democracy, passed away June 1948.